RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back here. Dr. Judy Wood will be back in a minute. She wrote the book, WordOfTheTowersGo.com, and about 911. Also, Andrew Johnson out of the UK. And why don't you, Dr. Wood's going to be gone for a few minutes here. Why don't you tell us about what you're doing? You wrote a new book, I think, and global warming and some other things here.
Right. Well, you know, cause what Dr. Wood started to mention there, and this became important for many reasons, but it's to do with the weather, basically, which was the presence of Hurricane Erin, which she mentioned before the break. And I was staggered when she found that out. And that's all in the book, as you mentioned, the Where Did the Towers Go book. And you look at the data for this hurricane, again, the facts, which you can look at in the archives. And, you find out, for example, that it was the longest lasting hurricane of the 2001 season, and that NASA had a big study of it, and they'd, taken up various planes to follow the progress of the storm and whatnot. Many of those articles are posted on Dr. Wood's site. So I realized, that was really important because it took you into another area of the cover-up, essentially, which is to do with the weather. And so I'd already been looking at this global warming, scam, basically, is what I think it is, and how they've now portrayed this carbon dioxide as this pollutant, and it needs to be controlled and measured and taken out of the atmosphere because it's going to kill us all, because the world's going to heat up and all of this stuff, And you start to unpack this and you realize that it's another one of these. It's a bit like the hijacker story on 9/11, there's almost the beginnings of a vaguely plausible story there. But when you start to go into it, you realize that it's basically just a scam. and that, for example, carbon dioxide only it's only like 0.03% of the atmosphere. But then people raise their arms and say, "Oh, but yes, Andrew, but it is the 0.03% that causes the infrared radiation not to be returned to space, you know, and so the Earth heats up because of CO2." And this is one of their claims, you know. But when you start to again pull that apart, you realise there are much bigger driving factors, and you also begin to see other things going on. And, you know, you and I were talking in the break about sunspots and how sunspots seem to be related to effects on the weather on Earth, which is, to my understanding, to do with cosmic ray radiation. If there's more sunspots, then there's less cosmic ray radiation, which means there is less cloud, which means that the Earth can heat up more easily. Or it might even work the other way around. But basically, there is a well-known thing in history, and it's called the Maunder Minimum, which was a period of a number of years. I forget the exact date range, but this is what I've put in the book. But there was a number of years where sunspots were not observed. There was very few sunspots on the disk of the sun. And this corresponded to a period of warmer weather across the globe. So it appears that a reduction in sunspots means that we have, generally speaking, warmer weather. And this is one of the things that I've put in this book, which is just about to become available on Amazon. I've also made it available as a free PDF file so people can download it from my website. And it's trying to look at why they've tried to push this global warming theory onto everybody, and it basically appears to be to, you know, have this agenda of controlling how we use energy. They want to control how we use energy, because if you want to control how we use energy, then you have to impose mechanisms to control people's lives. You know, whether that's through taxation, which is one of the things that's been in place for probably at least 15 years now in various forms. They put all these taxes and levies on certain things and encourage you to pay extra to go carbon neutral, you know, and all this nonsense. And so that's one of the ways they impose this control. And there was this document published by the Rio Summit, which was organised by the UN in 1992, called Agenda 21. And this lays out a system for actually attempting to control the way that industry works, the way that people live their lives. But the underlying reason for doing that is because industrial processes are creating too much carbon dioxide, and they're therefore affecting the global climate adversely to make it heat up, and that will, of course, mean we're all going to die. So they have to control everybody's activities to control the amount of carbon dioxide, etc., etc., etc. And so I've put all of this into the book. So it's in an attempt to combine these things to talk about the fact that global warming is a scam, the reason for the scam, why they need it, and what they're trying to do on the back of it.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Climate Change and Global Warming Exposed, Hidden Evidence, Disguised Plans.
And what's your webpage so they can people find
checktheevidence.com. If people want to go and look at it, and they can get the link by just contacting me. If you click the contact button on checktheevidence.com, I'll send you the link to either to download the PDF, or okay, if you want to get a paperback copy, I'll send you a link to get that. It's going to be about $10 for the book, $10 or $12, mm-hmm, is I think the price I've currently got it at, so it's not going to be vast amounts of money. But I've really tried to bring together for the first time, you know, there's a lot of books about climate change being a scam. There's a number of books about Agenda 21, but none of those books include the information about Hurricane Erin, and also the other information about other technologies that have probably been used to change the weather in the past. And I'm talking about people like Wilhelm Reich, who you know, he had looked at building these cloud busters, which he said were able to generate clouds or dissipate clouds in certain ways, which, and he was doing these experiments in the 1950s. So I've included some information on that. Although there are a number of books that have been written about Reich, and Reich himself was the author of many interesting books. And so I've tried to put all those things together to prove that the climate change debate is in the public domain is extremely limited. In the same way that the debate about 9/11 is very limited to whether there were hijackers and, you know, whether there weren't or something, you know, and they don't really go much beyond that. They don't tell you about the toasted cars. They don't tell you about Hurricane Erin. And that never comes up in the mainstream. So I've tried to put many of those topics in relation to the climate and climate change into this book so that people can then go, yeah, let's have a look at this more closely. We need to study this properly and get a better picture.
Well, let me ask you this. My understanding, I watched a movie, Climate Change of Swindle, and it was based on the sunspots, which affects the cosmic rays, affects the clouds, and then the temperature raises and lowers depending on the cloud cover, and then that the oceans actually stores CO2, so the temperature comes before the CO2.
Yes, that's it. That's another one of the basic arguments in that, you know, they claim that the carbon dioxide causes the increase in temperature because the heat is retained. But other people will say, well, if you actually look at this more closely and you zoom in on these graphs, you know, of these temperature changes, what you actually see is the temperature goes up first, and then shortly after that, as you just said, the CO2 gets released because the release is caused by the higher temperature. So the CO2 is the effect and not the cause, you know, and there are a number of people that have argued it that way round. And I've mentioned that a little bit in the book. But my point is, you know, that even if you have that argument, you've still got Hurricane Erin to explain and a number of other weather anomalies. There are quite a few other weather anomalies that I've gathered together in this book from various sources. And some even photographs that I've taken myself of cloud anomalies and this sort of thing, which seem to suggest, as with the Hurricane Erin data, which strongly suggests that the weather was being manipulated on 9/11, you know, by somebody or with some technology. It very much looks as if that hurricane was manipulated to be there at that time and to make those movements that it did. And therefore, when you look at that data honestly and with an open mind, that has to come into the climate change debate. And if it doesn't, the people that are involved in that debate are being dishonest. And that's one of my main points that I try to make.
Do hurricanes behave like Erin did? Just come up and all of a sudden take a 190 degree turn or something and wander off?
It depends. It depends. But one thing that I found so striking about this Hurricane Irma thing, they kept saying, well, we don't know where it's going to go because you just don't know about hurricanes. You know, you don't know which path. Oh, maybe it's going to go here. Maybe it's going to go there. But why then, if a 9/11 is going, or prior to 9/11 for 4 days, it's going straight to New York City, how could they be 100% sure it wasn't going to stall out by New York City and cause all sorts of storm surges and floods? Mm-hmm. Enough so that they should warn people, like, well, it's a voluntary evacuation or it might be a mandatory evacuation, because you can't evacuate 6 million people, you know, in 1 hour. So they had to be 100% sure of what it was going to do.
So if Erin had actually hit New York, all hell would have broke loose.
Oh, not even hit New York. If it just stayed where it was for a few more hours, the storm surge would have flooded Manhattan, JFK Airport, and LaGuardia Airport, you know, because Manhattan's basically at sea level. And so if you have a hurricane sitting there and they have, you know, a 13 or 14-foot storm surge, it's going to flood Manhattan.
And there were no warnings.
Right, and there were no voluntary evacuations, no mention of it. Actually, on the weather report for 10 to 15 minutes before the North Tower got its hole, I've got the weather reports in my book, the weather maps, and Aaron isn't on any of them. Actually, one of them says over Manhattan, it says as nice as can be, the weather will be.
That's right, and this is one of the issues. You know, this is the main issue, that if they knew that it wasn't going to be a problem, yet with this latest one, you know, 16 years later, they said, oh, we don't know where it's going, then this doesn't tie up. This doesn't add up. You know, there is somebody that knows more information. But again, you know, when I actually went to one of these climate change conferences in the UK, this was run by the Royal Society, and, you know, I approached a couple of the speakers who were talking about weather events and so forth, and I said, are you aware of this weather event? You know, and I had a leaflet with the Hurricane Erin information, just a very quick summary of it. And the guy wouldn't even take the leaflet from me. He would not even take the leaflet from me. You know, I offered it to him and he wouldn't take it. You know, so that's the sort of resistance that you face, because they're so entrenched in these silly belief systems, which they describe as science, and it isn't, you know. And
but also, before the Beijing Olympics, there was a lot of haze in the air, and they scheduled, I mean, they even acknowledged they were doing this. They scheduled to have rain to clear out the air for the Olympics. So they acknowledged that they can control rain.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I mean, people obviously might write in or ring in and say, well, that was just cloud seeding, you know, and you can put dry ice into the clouds, and that encourages the condensation of droplets, and that's been known since the 1940s.
Yeah, whatever the deal is, it's for sure, you know, evidence that they can control
right.
that.
But even, that's it. Even that is weather control of a sort.
Yeah,
you know, that's right.
So when people have droughts and stuff, they could alter that.
Well, potentially. I mean, it's a bit more complicated than that. But yeah, you know, but the point is that there is a considerable evidence, if you look at this, and I've put some of this in this book. There have been geoengineering projects, in other words, projects to engineer the weather, which have gone on since at least the 1950s. And there's this project Popeye, which was run, you know, you mentioned this the other day in one of your interviews, Dr. Wood, the project Popeye, which was over the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was a cloud seeding operation, according to what, you know, was disclosed eventually.
And after that, they passed a new treaty that you can't use weather for warfare. Why would they do that if it wasn't a possibility?
Exactly.
When was that treaty passed?
I think it was 78.
Yeah, 78 or 76. I can't remember the exact date. But yeah, it's around that time.
Mid-late 70s.
Wow, they've come a long way since then.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Something I'd like to add is that... there's big talk about, you know, using the Hurricane Harvey as evidence of global warming.
Yes.
Because, yes, you know, warm oceans cause that. And I like to point out that if you have a cold bathtub full of water and you want to heat it up, how long do you hold the hairdryer over it to heat it up? So they're saying that you know, warmer air temperatures by 0.01 degrees or whatever is heating up the oceans. Haven't they heard of specific heat?
Yeah.
Well, I'm no scientist, but that's ludicrous.
Yep.
It is. I mean, the other thing I also pointed out was that, you know, some of this information I picked up a few years ago from a couple of people, and it's changes in all the planets in the solar system. All of the planets in the solar system, they've observed changes in the atmosphere, you know, big changes. Over the last sort of 30 years, you know, the measurements they've taken of Venus's atmosphere in the last sort of 30, 40 years and more, they've showed significant changes in Venus's atmosphere. All the planets with an atmosphere have had changes. Mars's atmosphere has changed, and the polar ice caps there have melted. And Jupiter has had enormous changes in its atmosphere. And I've got pictures of this that I've collected together. Saturn has had massive changes as well, and Neptune, Uranus, Pluto has even had changes as well, which is sort of similar to the planets heating up. They seem to be getting more energy going into them somehow, probably from the sun, obviously, would be the most likely cause. And this is all on NASA's own website. You know, NASA is actually one of the big promoters of the global warming hoax. You know, NASA have published a lot of stuff about that. But yet they don't actually make a big thing of changes on the other planets, where, of course, it's impossible to claim that those changes are due to industrial activity and increased population and so forth.
Well, we're coming out of an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that from too many SUVs, 500
right.
years ago?
But, right.
But there's other things that, one thing I think makes a significant change, and this is according to the official line, is we've had these big Category 9 earthquakes. They say it knocked the Earth on its axis more or less. Well, you think about how much just a small angle changes, when the hottest day of the year is. It's going to make a big difference. You're going to have a global warming or cooling, depending on how that is, and maybe that's what's caused ice ages over time. It's a possibility.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing that we've touched on a little bit, but to sort of add it a little bit, is the effects of the sun in terms of these what are called coronal mass ejections. And you can see videos of these, you know, from some of these satellite probes they've got. One is called SOHO and the other's called STEREO. And what you find is that every so often the sun kind of coughs, as it were, and it blows off this cloud of material. They say that it's protons, I think, mainly, or helium nuclei, which is mainly protons. And these sort of massive clouds get shot out into space, and they don't always come in the direction of the Earth, because it depends which way the cloud ejects from the surface of the sun. But when these clouds of charged particles hit the Earth's atmosphere, you know, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to induce all these electrical charges and so forth, which is what we see with the aurora, you know, the aurora borealis and the northern lights, as it's called, and the aurora australis. But they never talk about effects on the weather. They're happy to talk about aurorae, but what are the actual effects on the weather? You know, how does
thunderstorms?
Yeah, how many thunderstorms does it create? How many
bigger tornadoes?
Triggering tornadoes. And does it even trigger earthquakes? There have been some studies, I think you'd looked at that, hadn't you, Dr. Wood, that there was this connection between the coronal mass ejections and the incidence of earthquakes, unless I've got that wrong.
There's a lot of things that can affect earthquakes, too. If you have, like, impending stick-slip condition, it's just something's going to trigger it at some point. You know, it maybe can wait 100 years, maybe it does or doesn't, and then you get the right situation, whether it's an abrupt temperature change or, the electromagnetic atmosphere, you know, and suddenly it pops. But it's not going to be necessarily popping for no reason. It's going to be something's going to give it the last, you know, straw that broke the camel's back.
And so you get this ridiculous talk of climate change deniers, and they call people climate change deniers or global warming deniers or whatever. Well, make your mind up, you know, for a start off. And climate change is all the time, you know. So
from morning to afternoon.
morning to afternoon and from season to season. So that's a very generic, very loose, very lazy term to use. But when you look at the literature, when they say climate change, they still want to talk about carbon dioxide. They still want to talk about the excess carbon dioxide. So it doesn't really matter whether they use the term climate change or global warming. What what the agenda is to affect, is to affect the amount of CO2, and then they monetize that in some way, or claim that there's going to be an economic cost which has to be defrayed in some way with these carbon credits. So they still use the same underlying supposed remedy, which of course isn't a remedy at all. It's a control system. Regardless of whether they call it climate change or global warming, it doesn't really matter. It's just a name, you know, that they give it.
But the other thing that initially bothered me, and it still does, you know, when they first started bringing this up, is they're talking about the temperatures increased by 0.001 degrees or something like that. Well, we didn't have that kind of accurate measuring devices 100 years ago.
No.
Or, No. Well, they're saying that we have more hurricanes now than we did 100 years ago, but they didn't have satellites then to detect hurricanes that are out in the middle of the ocean that never make landfall.
And the other significant point as well is that it has been warmer in the past. You know, we've had the medieval warming period. That's a well-established historical set of data, you know, from various sources. They try to debunk it because of global warming, but the temperature then was warmer than it is now, and it was quite beneficial. It meant that you could grow grapes, for example. We can't really grow grapes in Britain here. We're too far north and it's too cold, but in the medieval times, during this medieval warming period, grapes were grown in Britain quite successfully, and there's quite good records of that. You know, no, they didn't kill everyone off. You know, so even if it did get warmer, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad thing, you know.
So. Well, in the mid-70s, they're talking about this, we're entering into a new ice age, everybody's going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they can't predict, another feeling I have is if they can't predict the weather next week, how can they predict it in 20 years?
Mm-hmm. How do they keep all these, technology today, I mean, they have the technology to prove global warming is a smoke and mirrors nonsense. How do they get all these people to buy into it in countries?
Few people think these days. They like to, blend in with the crowd. They think maybe there's safety in numbers, and they don't want to be an outlier, so they just go with the herd. And you steer the herd, and the herd, after all, look at the AE 9/11 Truth group.
Yeah.
Is there something too piled higher and deeper?
No, it's I think what it is is people take that as some sort of entitlement to dictate myth or whatever they want to dictate, because it has there's an agenda that gets promoted.
I mean, the other thing that I've put into this book is something that quite a lot of stuff I learned from Dr. Wood, actually, but this Ash conformity experiment, mm-hmm. which is where this chap, this psychologist, he basically set up an experiment where, you know, you got six people in a room, five of them were actors, and one was a genuine person.
And you arranged for him to arrive late.
And he always arrived late, so he didn't know the other people were set up. And they were shown a series of three lines on a piece of paper, and then a fourth line, which was the same length as one of the other three. And they had to point out which was the line was the same length as a sample out of the three. So it'd be A, B, or C. So you'd have this the correct answer with either A, B, or C. But the actors, the volunteers, had been told to give the wrong answer. And so the first couple of questions, the guy or the girl would give the correct answer, saying that line A or line B is the shortest. But then as he was...
But he said it was with the tone of voice of like, well, it's B. Like, yeah. Don't you guys see?
Yeah. And they did this verbally. So as you say, they had to do it by voice. And after a few goes, the guy that was... you know, seen to be wrong, ended up agreeing with the rest of the group, and he also gave the wrong answers, even though it was just something, a simple thing that was right in front of him. So that this was an illustration of how people are afraid to disagree with the consensus because of fear of them feeling strange, even though it's something just the length of a line. You know, never mind the complexity of something like climate change, and when it gets... And this is just an isolated experiment, whereas climate change is rammed down your throat just about every day, you know.
Hold on a minute, hold a thought. That golly gee whiz, that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We're coming back. I have Dr. Judy Wood and I have Andrew Johnson. We have two truth seekers. These people seek truth based on facts. What a novel idea. And they were just explaining this experiment here on the lengths of lines. And just give a short recap because this is scary. I mean, God almighty, if you can't discern the length of a line, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And this was, you know, as we said, it was volunteers giving the wrong answers about lengths of lines. And the guy that was the sort of, you know, the guy who didn't know the other guys were volunteers, he was eventually agreeing with the wrong answer. Even it was just the length of a line. He just said the simplest thing. And this just proves how you can get people to have a consensus, which is wrong, utterly wrong, you know, not even partly right. And that's, I think, what's happened with the global warming carbon dioxide nonsense. It's been repeated so many times. Yeah, and thermite in the 9/11.
Airplanes can turn buildings to dust.
Airplanes flown by, of course, by terrorists. It must have been them, because who else would do such a terrible thing? And it must have been crazy fundamentalists, you know, with a suicide plan, et cetera, And then you have this thing called the Hegelian dialectic, where you pit one party against another. So I point out in my book that you have
false
the climate.
Choice.
Yeah, a false choice, exactly. You have the people saying, yes, there's global warming caused by man. No, it isn't caused by man, or we don't think it is. And they argue, you know, the hell out of each other. And behind all of that, there's these other factors, such as we've mentioned with the climate control going on and the climate modification being done by somebody else. That goes unnoticed. Nobody even thinks of that as an answer, because it's not even put anywhere into the sort of landscape of discussion. You know, it's not there at all. And that happens with a lot of topics, you know.
Why don't we talk about, you guys mentioned something about eclipses and about UFOs and stuff. That's interesting. Crop circles or whatever you want to go there. That's
another I'll just mention that I went to see Dr. Wood, and I mentioned the last hour then how this came about, because I saw an eclipse in the UK in 1999. I'm talking about a total solar eclipse where the moon completely covers the sun and it goes dark. And I saw one in 1999 in Cornwall, which is right at the southern tip of England. It just made landfall in the UK, and I'd known it was going to do that for about 16 years, so it was highly anticipated. And so I saw that, and then one day I was thinking, well, I remember from going to astronomy meetings that the moon has an 18-year cycle of its orbit, so it goes in this sort of, if you imagine a plate, you know, spinning a plate, and how the plate wobbles as it's about to settle flat, that wobbling, you know, sort of motion. The moon's orbit does that over 18 years around the Earth. And so that means that these eclipses go in 18-year patterns. So I thought, where's the eclipse going to be in August 2017? This was in about 2015. I thought about this, early 2016.
Yeah.
And then I found out that it went over South Carolina. So I looked at that. No, it's right over Dr. Wood's house. So I typed her a message on Skype and said, I've just found out you're going to be in an eclipse in 2017. He said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah. So what did you say?
Well, come see.
Come see, yeah. So come and see us. So we did. And so we went to, I was discussing this with a mutual friend who I don't think I knew her at the time. I'd found out about this eclipse. And we'd agreed to meet all together as a group, and we got this house. This house was rented, for us to stay in. And Dr. Wood came over to see the eclipse with us, didn't you? And
it was amazing. Yeah. For over 2.5 minutes, and it definitely hit. Well, I remember the cows went stampeding to the forest. They didn't know what was going on. But if you didn't know what an eclipse was, you would really think that somebody's, you know, pulling the plug on the planet.
Yeah.
And God's punishing us for this or that. And caveman probably came up with lots of interesting interpretations. Mm. And I'd like to apply that same kind of logic to this, climate change business. Yeah, the climate's changing, but why? Is God punishing us for something or blaming this or that? Or they just pick something at random and go with it. It's no different than the caveman mentality of the eclipse.
Yeah, yeah.
Except it might have more agenda.
Has anybody ever tried to take this back to the time of Christ was crucified? If it might, that might have been in that same time window?
I think I think there's various things that have been done like that. There are, you can do this yourself as well, actually. There's sites like Heavens Above, and there's another one called there's another package that you can download for free called Stellarium, and then there's a website which is called Neoplanetarium or something, and it's an online, and basically you can put a date in, and then you can see where all the stars and planets were at that date, and you can see eclipses and stuff. So yeah. that's you know, all the computer software is there to do that now, basically free, okay. I think. And okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, continue on with what you were going to talk about here, and maybe if we get into UFOs too or whatever.
Yeah, and so we can sort of tie into that a little bit, but yeah, we saw the eclipse, and we had a brilliant view. Instead of got the total darkness, some clouds came past, and I think your neighbors didn't see it, did they?
Right, because it was clouds over my house, but there wasn't where we were.
Yeah, because we were about 12 miles away, something like that, and. Yeah, and I got a few good pictures, and you know, it was an amazing experience, something we might not see again for quite a few years.
And it wasn't just the, you know, pictures capture what you see, but the whole experience was weird. That for about 1 minute before the total darkness, all the bugs came out. And then 1 minute after the total darkness, the bugs came out. It's kind of like a quick sunrise and a quick sunset.
Yeah, I think I heard the
How about birds or any other animals? Did you see any other type
Oh, yeah, the birds get all quiet. It's like nighttime.
Yeah.
Huh. And, those cows, I think the owners came shortly after to make sure the cows were okay, because they stampeded in a panic.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Wow.
But going back to the there was the last eclipse that was it was in that area, not really in that area because it was in South America, but I was actually in St. Louis in July 1991. I think it was about July the 7th or something, 1991. That was a solar eclipse which was visible in Mexico. Had totality there, but there's some quite interesting videos that came out from that eclipse, because people had, you know, going back to 1991, there were quite a few people that had, you know, reasonably good video cameras then. They weren't as good as they are now, of course, but they were colour video cameras and stuff, so that was fairly well recorded. And what they picked up in that eclipse, and you can get quite a few of these videos on YouTube now, there were various sort of metallic looking discs which were in the sky at the same time as the eclipse, or around the time of the eclipse, if not in the actual eclipse, you know, totality. And people filmed these. Several people filmed these discs, and that's very interesting, because when you're getting two or three or four or five different people filming the same sort of objects in the sky, which are clearly not aircraft, you know, and they're clearly not birds, and they're clearly not satellites or, you know, stars or planets, which these weren't. And if you put into YouTube, you know, 1991 Mexico eclipse or something, you'll get some of these objects coming up on there. And all this is interrelated, basically, as I've come to understand things. And you know, I've just come from this conference which was about the UFO issue, the UFO problem, whatever you want to call it. And I mentioned in the break there that there was some, I was aware of these stories back in 2003 was when I became aware of them, but there's one particular story which people can check out. And I met the chap today, I met him, well, and yesterday as well, the chap that was involved in this. And he's called Bob Jacobs. He separated from the US Air Force as a captain, and he went to work in a university as a professor of media, because he was involved in films, in making films. And his particular job in the Air Force of making films, among several, one of the particular ones, which was, I think, 1965, was he had this sort of giant telescope, which I think was a 2,500-inch focal length, which was a very powerful telescope. And they were using this to film powered flights of ICBMs, these intercontinental ballistic missiles, the tests that they were doing. And they wanted to see these things flying and zoom in on the engines, you know, and see that the engines were burning the fuel properly and there weren't sort of discontinuities in the burning and that sort of thing. And so they'd set up this test, and they said to him, "We'll go to this mountaintop in Big Sur, which is in California, with your crew, and this special equipment which you're going to have delivered there, because of course this was classified technology, it being in the USA, I thought, well, probably secret if not classified. They didn't sort of broadcast what they were doing, obviously, because it was in the middle of the Cold War. And he set up this thing with a radar tracking mount so that this telescope could actually track the missile. And he describes this scenario where they were given the signal that the missile had been launched, but there was just this blanket of cloud across the valley. And 100 miles away, they saw this missile come through the cloud deck, and the telescope locked onto it and tracked it. And they had to make it sure it was loaded with film, and they were filming it. And they watched it for a couple of minutes, and the telescope kept moving and tracked it, and it was all put onto a roll of film. And when they captured the shot, you know, they had a celebration because all the equipment had worked flawlessly. And then the film was taken to a development lab at Vandenberg Air Force Base, which was where Bob Jacobs was based, you know. And a couple of days later, he was called in into his Major Sonny Mansman, that was his commanding officer. He was called into his office. And they sat him on a couch, and they had a projection equipment in there. And there were these two other guys in there in plain suits. And the Sonny Mansman said, watch this. And they put the film on, and it was the film that they'd shot. And, you know, he thought he was fantastic because they got this, the rocket of the missile filling the screen from 100 miles away, you know. And they were. This was locked on, and the thing was flying off, you know, going at 8,000 miles an hour, as these rockets do, or 9,000 miles an hour. And what happens? The next thing that happens is, as this missile is opening up, and what happens is the missile had opened up, and the warhead then is propelled out with another small rocket. So it was a dummy warhead; it wasn't a real one. But as this dummy warhead is coming out, this flying saucer comes into the picture, and it fires a beam of light at the warhead. It flies round to another position, fires another beam, flies round to a third position, fires another beam, and I think maybe even does that a fourth time, and then it flew out of the picture the same way it came in, and this warhead tumbles out of space. And he never saw this with it visually, because he was just looking with his, he didn't have binoculars or anything. They only saw this on the film, which was like, I don't know, 500 times magnification, a very powerful magnification on this telescope. And the major says to him, so were you guys screwing around up there? In other words, he was saying, did you put some kind of fake film into this telescope, you know, to fool us? And of course he said, no, of course I wasn't, you know, no sir, I was not. And then the guys, these two guys who apparently were from the CIA, they took the film, they cut the film and cut out the portion with the flying saucer coming into it, and they gave the rest of the film back to him, and he was told never to speak of this again. But it was 17 years later that he did speak of it. And another researcher made inquiries. And they tracked down this Florence J. Mansman, Sonny Mansman, where he was, and they wrote him and said, we've heard this story from Robert Jacobs. Is it true? You know, did this really happen? And he confirmed the whole thing. He said he described the object and, you know, what it looked like and how he'd put the film himself into another projector, and he studied this object and zoomed in on it and found some details that it was a saucer-shaped craft and it had a dome on top. And it fired out a beam from a channel, you know, on the side of it, and this story was true, and this leads into other stories which are told in a book by Robert Hastings called UFOs and Nukes, where there are many accounts, say maybe 10, 20 accounts, and it's mainly in the 60s, of objects coming over the missile silos. Various colours, various descriptions, and the people who are manning these silos and checking that these missiles are ready to, you know, blast the Soviet Union to oblivion at the flick of a switch, sort of thing. You know, they're reporting that these missiles are suddenly becoming unlaunchable. They're going offline. They're getting an error signal from them or something, an alarm signal. And this happened multiple times in the 60s, and the documents have now been released, which show parts of these things that actually have happened, you know. Or you get the reverse, where you go to the log for that night where this colonel or this captain has said that this thing happened, and the log isn't there. You know, the log's been removed just for that night, you know. So, and it's happened loads of times. There's another chap called Captain Robert Salas who he's been talking about his experience where this set of missiles that he was in charge of in North Dakota did the same thing. A glowing object came over the top side of the base, and then he got an alert from his console that the missiles were unlaunchable. They developed an error condition, and they had to reset them all. And gets a special team in to check them all out the next day. So,
wow.
There you go.
Well, I hope they're watching over North Korea. God
well,
almighty.
This is it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people said exactly the same at this conference today that, you know, would this happen again? And the latest incident that's been reported with this sort of activity was in 2010. So it's been going on all the time, you know. And,
well, we know the technology exists
exactly.
Because of 9/11. Yeah,
that's
the justification.
That's it. So if you've got that
transmutation.
If you've got that technology, you could, you know, you think of what happened to the towers. Surely you could do that to an underground missile, you know, somehow with some version of that technology. So it kind of makes a mockery of the whole nuclear missile story, really, when you think about mm-hmm. what happened to the towers and what the technology can actually do. And we know that that's real, you know. I mean, I'm pretty sure the UFO stuff is real as well, but that's, you know, like that particular incident that I mentioned, we
don't
have.
Hold on a minute. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a minute for the final couple of minutes.
Okay.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is the final little bit. I am very honored to have Dr. Judy Wood on the 9/11 and Andrew Johnson also in 9/11, and both of them are involved with the UFOs and crop circles and truth finders. Real, they actually check facts out. What a novel idea. Go ahead and finish up the show here. Where you want to go with this?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been talking quite a while, so if Dr. Wood wanted to add anything in the last few minutes.
No, except the best way to, you know, put up resistance to this is for each person to think their own thoughts and not go with groupthink, herd mentality.
Well, I want
and
to
understand
that,
what you're looking at.
That you've written a book, and tell both of you, tell how to get a hold of your webpage and the books if you've written, because this is really important stuff.
WhereDidTheTowersGo.com is my website, or you can go to Amazon, Where'd the Towers Go? It's pretty easy to find.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my website's checktheevidence.com. And, you know, I've got links on there to my 9/11 book, 9/11 Finding the Truth, which is free. And I should put up a link for my new book, but you can get that just by clicking the contact button and I'll send you the link and whatnot. And it should be available on Amazon soon. It's called Climate Change and Global Warming Exposed, which covers some of the stuff we've been talking about in this program.
And you've also got stuff on crop circles.
Right. And there's a bit of stuff on crop circles. I got an article that I wrote there about 18 months ago with a chap called David Caton about some of the energy aspects which have come up in a couple of the circles that David's investigated. And that seems to have some tie-in to the events of 9/11. You know, as we've discussed on the program a little bit before, there's definitely some kind of energy connection that's involved there. And obviously we talked about the energy effects that are seen in the destruction of the towers. And so, yeah, you can read up on that if you wish. But if people want to send me any questions, if they can't find anything, then please do, and I'll direct them to the appropriate point.
So we can conclusively say that the global warming thing is a total scandal. The facts that they put out on the 9/11 is all smoke and mirrors nonsense. There's no facts. They never talk about the facts. It's always platitudes and, oh, the airplanes took it, and I saw the towers go down, and that's as far as the thought process goes.
Absolutely. They tend to go for the emotive sort of statements, which are very thin on the facts or absent the facts. Rather than trying to cover the material that Dr. Wood has put in her book, which of course is, some of it's very obvious as well. When it's actually shown to you, it's really obvious.
Many people say, why didn't I see that?
Right, and I was one of those people several years ago, yeah.
Well, the interesting part is, if you don't have any facts, how can you point the finger at somebody like Saudi Arabia, or you actually sued two companies? What was the name of the two companies that you sued, Dr. Judy Wood?
Well, several of them, but the main ones were Applied Research Associates and Science Application International Corporation.
So they would have had knowledge of who has this technology, right?
Oh, yeah, the ARA, Applied Research Associates, they have a contract with the U.S. government to know anything about any weapon of mass destruction that exists or is being developed anywhere. They also are manufacturers and developers of energy weapons, so they not only know what technology it is, but whose technology it is.
Has anybody else taken them to court other than you?
Nope.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
I think people don't want to really know the truth.
Yes.
Truth is a scary proposition, isn't it?
Yep.
For many it is, yeah. Yeah. Because you've been given so much, you know, a diet of lies that the truth is a very uncomfortable change of diet.
Well, I think you both, I'm very honored to have you both on my show, and thanks for coming on. And
Thanks for having us.
Look up the federalists are everywhere, and God willing, we'll see you next Sunday. Oh,
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.